The European Council President Herman Van Rompuy pointed out earlier today that the EU is primarily aiming at ousting Gaddafi. Now, that's not what the UN resolution indicates. Do you think the EU is on a collision course with the UN here, perhaps?
I was very shocked, and I've just been to a private meeting with him, of seven of us from the European Parliament, where he repeated that. So it's perfectly clear that as far as Rompuy is concerned, regime change is why we're involved in Libya. What was also surprising was that we'd all seen it to begin with as France, Britain and America getting involved in this, and it now coming under, this morning, a NATO umbrella. But what Van Rompuy made clear was that those countries would not, and in fact could not, have gone to war in Libya without the European Council approving it. So what Van Rompuy is saying is that it's the EU, as much as anybody else, that has started off this war, and that the aim is to topple Gaddafi. And I would have thought that does go against UN Resolution 1973, and I see it as a very surprising development.
All right, let's draw some comparisons here, if we may. Back in 1999, NATO bombed the former Yugoslavia for almost 4 months and still introduced ground forces to take full control. Now we hear the reports that 4,000 US Marines are being moved closer to Libya. Do you think, is there really support for another ground offensive?
I don't believe there's any support for another ground offensive, and certainly if I talk about British public opinion, we've been told by the Armed Forces Minister, Nick Harvey, in response to a question, what is the length of our commitment? He replied, how long is a piece of string? Well, goodness me, we've had British troops on the ground in Afghanistan now for over 10 years. I don't think there's any appetite for us getting involved in foreign wars where we cannot directly see our own national interests being threatened, and where, frankly, if we go in to support the rebels, we don't even know who they are or what they stand for or what they want. I don't think anybody has thought this through, not just in the context of Libya and ground forces, but hey, what about the Yemen? What about Syria? What about Bahrain? What about Saudi Arabia? I mean, is there really, do Sarkozy or Van Rompuy or Cameron, have they thought about a strategy for North Africa and the Middle East?
But when you talk about Yemen and Bahrain, for example, we're seeing protests, anti-government protests, people fighting for the same cause as what we've seen in Libya. Why is it then that Western powers have gotten involved in Libya and not in places like Bahrain and Yemen?
Well, look, I mean, you're asking me the question. It's the same question that I want to ask as well. Surely, logically, if we've got ourselves involved in Libya because we're on the side of the rebels and we want to bring parliamentary democracy to Libya, then we have to repeat that in Bahrain, the Yemen, Syria, Saudi Arabia and everywhere else. Do we really have the will to do that? Do we have the money to do that? Do we have the military might to do that? What on earth are we doing?
Now, when you talk about the will to do such a regional intervention, talking about Yemen, Bahrain and, of course, Libya already underway, a lack of will, you say, in Europe, but also perhaps a lack of will in the region against Western powers getting involved when they're not invited.
Well, I would have thought that's true as well. And you know, it may well be that the people defending Benghazi against Gaddafi are, at the moment, very grateful for the help they've had over the course of the last week. But you know, if we run this on any longer, we may well find ourselves with ground troops in a country where we actually alienate both sides of the conflict. So I am very, very nervous and very sceptical. I don't like what's happening in Libya, but here we are, throwing in our aircraft, possibly about to throw in our troops, against a man who just 4 months ago, Mr. Van Rompuy, was hugging in public.
Now, why do you think Mr. Van Rompuy would be hugging him in public? Are we thinking there are some sort of behind closed doors energy dealings going on there, mutually beneficial agreements?
Well, quite possibly. I mean, don't forget it was Tony Blair who did bring Gaddafi in from the cold. Peter Mandelson, of course, knows Gaddafi's son well. He's been pheasant shooting with him. He's been on a yacht in the Mediterranean with him. And as I say, there was Van Rompuy in December. I mean, the air is pretty thick with hypocrisy over this, isn't it? We could have singled out other dreadful dictators. We could have gone and attacked Mugabe or chosen all sorts of different places. So I just don't know why they picked on Libya. I don't believe they've thought it through. And if they are going to put ground troops in, then I think they're going to find in all the member states involved in this a real strong level of opposition.
So you say you're not entirely sure of the true motives behind this military intervention, but there are many that are saying it's because of the 4% of the global crude oil that comes from the region. Could oil be the factor?
Well, I mean, oil is clearly a factor, and oil and business was the reason that Tony Blair did bring Gaddafi in from the cold. So you have to be perhaps careful in life which friends you choose. It may be that it's oil, but look, if they're worried about that, what would happen if there was a serious insurgency in somewhere like Saudi Arabia that produces far more?
All right, now, if you would, just take us back for a moment here. When British MPs voted on UK intervention in Libya, only 13 of them voted against the measure. Why so few?
Well, of course, we saw that with Afghanistan. We also saw that with Iraq, where, with the exception of the Liberal Democrats, virtually everybody in Parliament voted for the Iraq war. And it seems that what we have in Parliament now are a political class. They all go to the same schools, they go to the same universities, they get the same jobs in research offices, they spend their careers in politics, having never had jobs in the real world, and they operate, speak and vote like sheep. We don't have enough independent thinkers sitting in the House of Commons prepared to make counter-arguments.
All right, now when we look at the bombing campaigns and the missile strikes in Libya at the moment, hundreds of Tomahawk missiles and dozens of bombing campaigns have been striking so-called rebel areas. Meantime, Western powers claim, though, that these acts are to protect civilians. Does it seem to you that collateral damage is an expectable and expendable side effect?
Well, I don't think it matters, you know, how good your missiles are, how up-to-date your kit is. There is no doubt that if you're involved in military intervention, unfortunately, however much you try and pick the targets and select the targets, there is bound to be a number of civilians that get killed in these things. I mean, I think that is just a fact of modern war of this nature. But again, we seem to be... I saw Mr. Cameron this afternoon talking about the fantastic victories we'd secured over the course of the last week. I'm not sure what to believe when I hear all of that, but certainly civilian casualties will be an ongoing part of this campaign.
Well, when you hear Prime Minister Cameron talking about so-called victories, in what context do you think victory actually translates to?
Well, they seem to be measuring success in the number of tanks and armoured personnel carriers and fighter jets that they've destroyed from the air and with missiles. They seem to be saying, look, you know, we've smashed up loads of their kit, they haven't got much of an air force left, we've killed lots of their people, and therefore, aren't we doing well? And doesn't this justify the action that we took just over a week ago? And I'm just not sure the public are ready to buy that.
All right, now let's turn our focus now to that of Brussels. The past 2 days of severe protests there as the EU summit has been discussing a possible bailout of Portugal and more austerity cuts in social services there. Do you think with severe austerity cuts taking place around Europe, it's likely to possibly overshadow military involvement in Libya or, on the contrary, make the public more sensitive to the huge spendings on the Libyan campaign?
Yeah, I think when people see cuts in frontline services for whatever reasons, when people see their retirement ages going up, when people see the taxes, both direct and indirect, that they're paying going up, they've a right to question, what on earth are we doing getting involved in an open-ended commitment in terms of war with Libya that could cost us goodness knows what else? I do think the two are very closely interlinked, and I also feel that there are lots of countries this morning, and certainly in Britain, people woke up this morning and they looked at the television and bought their newspapers and saw that as Portugal is about to topple over as the next Eurozone country requiring a bailout, that is actually going to cost each British taxpayer about £400, and that actually the biggest effect on our pockets this week wasn't the Chancellor's budget, but it was the fact that the Portuguese government fell and they're about to be bailed out. So I think people have every reason to be pretty angry that they see their own costs at home going up, their services being cut, and money being thrown overseas in all sorts of projects that they wouldn't necessarily support.
Now, I'd seen those reports earlier that British families will be cashing out about £400 for the broad-scale bailout of Portugal. Is the Eurozone failing, do you think?
Oh, listen, the Eurozone, I've been saying for over 10 years that the Eurozone, as it's currently constructed, cannot work. You cannot have countries as diverse and different as Greece and Germany put together in a single economic and monetary union. It won't work. And they can come up with their bailout packages, and they can come up with their plans, and they can keep these countries inside the euro for now. But in the end, all they're doing is building a far bigger and a far worse bust when it comes. And I am utterly convinced that Greece and Ireland and now Portugal and possibly even Spain are now being trapped inside an economic prison, where their democratic voice in terms of general elections can't be heard, where we're going to see increasing violence on the streets, and at some point in time, they've got to come out of the euro, re-establish their own currencies, devalue, and reschedule their debt. Otherwise, they are simply not going to survive.